Okay, good morning. Today's daf is a Nedarim daf Samaches. So today's another challenging daf. Yesterday, we began the 10th parak of Nedarim, and we were focused on the Mishnah and then the Shita of Rabba. The Mishnah told us the basic halacha of Anara Marasa, of a girl who has Erusim but not yet Nesuin, that Avia Ubala Mafira Nedarea, that both her father and her aros and her husband can be made for her nedarim, but only when they act in concert, only when they act together, and neither one acting alone has the ability to be made for her nedarim. So yesterday we saw the limud of Rabbah, who was teaching us how we knew the halacha, or how we know the halacha of Avia Ubala Mafira Nedarea. We spoke about the smichas of the parshios. Again, there were these three psukim that are in the parsha of Nedarim. The first one that deals with the father being mefer the Nedarim of his single daughter, and then the third one which deals with the nesua and Nabal being mefer the Nedarim of his wife. And then there's this ambiguous second pasuk, and it was ambiguous as to whether the second pasuk, the middle one, was dealing with a case of Nisuin, a case of Erusin. If it was dealing with a case of Nisuin, why would we need two cases dealing with Nisuin? So we ultimately wound up concluding that the second pasuk is dealing with a case of an Erusin, and that unlike the Baal of a Nisua, where Eina Baal Mefer Bekodman, where the Baal does not have the power to annul Nedarim that were made before the marriage, by an Arus can be Mefer Bekodman. And we ask, why can an Arus be Mefer Bekodman? Why can an Arus annul vows that were made before the Erusin? And so it has to be that the Arus is being Mefer in conjunction with the Baal, with the father, rather, and it's because of the Koach of the father and the joint jurisdiction here that the Arus has the greater ability to be made for Bekodman. And again, the Sfara is that Lagabe, the father, there is no such thing as Kodman, because the girl is always under the jurisdiction of the father. So when you take the Arus, who has a tfisan, the Nedarim of the woman, and you add the father, and Lagabe the father, there's no such thing as a Neder Kodman, so then you have an Arus being made for Bekodman with the assistance of the father, and that's how we know that by Nara Marasa, Avia Bala Mafira Nedarea. That was the Shita of Rabba. So today we're going to discuss the Shita of the Debei Rabbi Shmuel, who learned from a different Pasuk that the Halacha, that Nara Marasa, Avia Bala Mafira Nedarea. And we are then going to, and then the Gemara is going to cite a question, and then cite a very confusing and long brisa to answer the question. So the basic question is, so we have this woman who's an arusa, who's under the joint jurisdiction of the father and the husband, and we know that you need both of them in order to be made for her nedarim. So the question is, what happens when one of them is made for her neder? So let's say before the other one has the opportunity to do so. So what effect does the hafara of the first party have? Does it cut away half of the neder? In other words, do we say that each one has jurisdiction over 50% of the neder, and when each one is made for the neder, he annuls a full 50% of the neder? Or do we say that neither one has jurisdiction over 50% of the neder, but each one causes the neder to become weakened when he is made for the neder? So in other words, does he chop away 50%, or does he cause the entirety of the neder to become a little bit more weak? And the Gemara phrases that Megas Gaias, does he cut it in half, or Miklash Kalish, or does he just simply cause the entire thing to get weakened? So the Gemara is going to cite a Nafkamina, and then in order to prove who it is who holds Megas Gaias, who it is who holds Miklash Kalish, the Gemara is going to cite a complex brisa that has five cases. We're going to get to only four today, and so we'll have to sum up again tomorrow just to get back into it, God willing. But the Gemara is going to cite four cases that are going to deal with the concept of Nisrokna. So Nisrokna deals with the following situation. So you might have been bothered, right, with the fact that, so you have this Nara Marasa, her father and her husband can be made for the Nedarim. What happens if one of them is out of the picture? So what happens if one of them dies? So we'll see, the halacha is that if the husband dies, then his ability to be mefer the nedarim is nisrokna to the father. It switches, it transfers over to the father. But if the father dies, then his ability to the father's, and if the father dies without having been made for the neder, then the father's ability to be made for the nedarim is not nisrokna to the baal. And in which case, the girl is stuck, and the baal is stuck, and there's no way to be made for the nedarim. Ultimately, from the fifth case in this brisa, which we're not going to get to today, we're going to prove that it's Beis Shammai who says that it's Megas Gaius, it's Beis Hillel who holds that it's Mikolish Kolish. So we'll see all that in the Gemara towards the end of today's shiur, and then God willing, tomorrow. But let's pick up from the top line of Samach Chesamad Aleph, where we're going to be introduced to the makor of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, how we know the halacha of Nara Marasa via Balam Afirin Dereah. So the Beit Rabbi Shmuel Tana. So the Beit Rabbi Shmuel says like this, that it's Bein Ish Li Ishto Bein Av Libito. The pasuk says Bein Ish Li Ishto Bein Av Libito. So it mentions both the relationship of a Baal and his wife, and the relationship of a father and his daughter. Mikan l'nara marasa shaviya bala mafirin adarea. From here we learn that by a nara marasa, the father and the Baal are made for the neder jointly. And how do we know, so says the Ran, how do we know that this is even talking about nara marasa? All we see over here is that it says bein ish li ishto bein av levito. So the Ran says, well, the pasuk concludes bitnu rea beis avia. So it's got to be a marasa. First, it's got to be at least an arusa, because otherwise, if it wasn't even an arusa, so what's the pasuk talking about bein ish li ishto? So it's obviously talking about at least an arusa if we're talking about ish li isha, and it has to be talking only about an arusa because it says bein urea beis avia. And if she's in a suwa, what did we learn yesterday? If she's in a suwa, then she leaves the jurisdiction of the father entirely, no matter how young she is. So if it's bein urea beis avia, if she's still considered to be in the house of the father, then it's got to be. Then it's got to be a nara marasa, and we have the reference of the husband and the father. So we see that both of them have co-jurisdiction, they have joint jurisdiction over her nedarim, and they could both be made for her nedarim acting together. So says the Gemara, Ulatana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, according to the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, im hayosi yela ish, my avidle. So what do they do with that pasuk, the middle pasuk, the second pasuk that we were discussing yesterday, the Shita of Rabbah? What do we do with that pasuk of im hayosi yela ish? So Rabbah uses it to teach me this halacha, that of nara marasa, avia bala mafirin adarea. Rabbi Shmuel learns it, debate Rabbi Shmuel learns it out from the pasuk of bein ish li ishto bein av levito. So what does he do with Rabbah's pasuk? So mukim li'idach de Rabbah. He learns out the other halacha of Rabbah. What's the other halacha of Rabbah? So if you look in the Ran over here says that the other halacha of Rabbah is that we make a hekesh between a situation of before a havaya shnia to before a havaya rishona. So what does that mean? So it means like this. So we know that ordinarily speaking, before the girl gets engaged, before the girl has erusin, who's able to be made for her nadarim? Her father's able to be made for her nadarim, assuming that she's not a bogeris and hasn't left his jurisdiction. Once she becomes an arusa, then the father loses the exclusive jurisdiction over the nadarim of the daughter, but he can be made for the nadarim of the daughter together, co-jurisdiction with the husband. Let's say now the husband dies, the arus dies, or the arus divorces her. Now what happens? Does she go back to her father, and does she enter again his sole jurisdiction? So the other halacha of Rabbah is yes, that if the girl was nisares and after that she's divorced or the aras dies, then the av once again assumes complete power to annul the nedarim of, to be made for the nedarim of his daughter. And even though the strength of the father to be made for the nedarim was weakened with the original erusin, once that erusin is terminated, then things go back to normal. Okay, so this is what Debei Rabbi Shmuel learns from this pasuk. So then the Ran deals with, okay, but how does Rabbah know this halacha? Because Rabbah uses this pasuk to teach me the basic halacha of nara marasa via bala mefirin adarea. So Rabbah will say that we could learn two dinim from this pasuk, because because from the general pasuk we learn the halacha of nara marosa avia bala mafirin edarea, and from the pratim of the pasuk, the Ran says from the fact that it says the word havaya twice, and we know that havaya is a reference to either erusin or nisuin. From the fact that it says havaya twice, we learn that we learn the second havaya to the first havaya. Since it says havaya twice, then what we learn from here is that just like before the first havaya, the Baal has exclusive jurisdiction. After the havaya, the father and the husband have co-jurisdiction. If that havaya is terminated, then we go back to like things were before the first havaya, and the father again assumes exclusive jurisdiction over the nedarim of his daughter. So the Ran then asks that according to the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, who learns only one halacha. From this pasuk, how does he learn that an arus is mefer bekodmin? How does he learn that an arus is mefer bekodmin? Because Rabba had learned both halacha that an arus is mefer bekodmin and the general halacha of nara marosa avia bala mafir nederea from this pasuk of imayoyo siela ish. But the Beit Rabbi Shmuel is learning a different halacha from this pasuk of imayoyo siela ish. He's learning halacha of makish avaya rishona avaya shniya avaya rishona. So how does he learn the din of arus mefer bekodmin? So the Ran says that according to the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, we don't need a pasuk to learn the halacha of mefer bekodmin, because the only situation in which I would think to apply the halacha of ein abal mefer bekodmin is only by an asua where we're dealing only with the baal and the av has no longer a shaychus in the nedarim. In that case, we would say ein abal mefer bekodmin. However, by a case of an arus where there's a shutfus with a father, then there's nothing that's considered to be a neder kodmin. There's nothing that could be considered to be a neder kodmin lagabe av, and that's why we don't need a pasuk to teach me that that arus mayfair bekodmin, because it's implicit just from the general halacha, from the nature of the relationship here, where we have co-jurisdiction between the husband and the father. It's pasha to me that the husband can be mefer bekodmin in the case of an arus and an arusa, because he's doing it with the joint jurisdiction of the baal, with the father rather, and for the father there is no such thing as kodmin. Okay, so what did we said? We had said, again, just getting back to the Shakla Vatari and the Gemara, that the Dvei Rabbi Shmuel will learn from Main Ish Lishto Ben Av Levito the din of joint jurisdiction by an Ara Marasa from the Pasuk of Amayo Yisiela Ish, they'll learn the halacha of Makish Havaya Rishona Lavaya Shnia, and that after the first Erusin terminates, then she goes back to the sole and exclusive jurisdiction of the father. Now, Varaba, Haidatana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Mayavile. Now, what does Rabba do with the pasuk of Bein Ish Liishto Bein Av Levito? Because Rabba already knows the halacha of Nara Marasa Bala Vavia Mefirin Edarea from the pasuk of Im Yosi El Ish. So what does he do with Rabbi Shmuel's pasuk? What does he do with the pasuk of the debate Rabbi Shmuel? So Miboyle Lomar Miboyle Mayavile. So Miboyle Lomar Shabal Mefirin Edarem Shabeno Levena. It teaches me the halacha that a baal can be made for nedarim, only nedarim of inu nefesh, and only nedarim that are shayich beino levena, that are shayich to the interpersonal relationship between the two. And we know this because the pasuk says bein ish liishto, that his jurisdiction is limited to cases of bein ish liishto. So the Ran over here explains that the types of nedarim that the baal can be made for are nidre inu nefesh, are a nedarim of inu nefesh, where she takes a neder that's going to cause her inu nefesh affliction, and nedarim beino levena. Now, how do we know that the baal can be made for nidre inu nefesh? All we see over here is that it says bein ish liishto. So the Ran explains that the pasuk itself tells me explicitly, because the pasuk says kol shvuas la nos nefesh yishayi kemenu v'yishayi feirenu. So if there's a shvua la nos nefesh to be in a shvuah of inu nefesh, then the husband can either be mekayim the nether, or the husband has the option to annul the neder. Now, according to the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Ran now deals with, how does the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel learn that the Baal can only be mefer nedarim shebeino leveina? Because it's Rabba who learns this halacha from the pasuk of Bein Ish Liishto. Rabbi Shmuel, however, learns the pasuk of Bein Ish Liishto. From that pasuk, he learns the basic halacha of that nara marasa bio baal mafir nedarea. So if he already learns that, if he already learns another halacha from this pasuk, how does he learn the halacha of that a baal can only be mefer nedarim beino leveina? So you could answer, says the Ran, that it's possible that he learns two halachas from the pasuk of Bein Ish Liishto, Bein Av Libito, that from the ikar of the pasuk we learn that from the pashup shot of the pasuk we learn that the baal can be made for only nedarim beino leveina. And from the smichos, in other words, from the fact that it says Bein Ish Liishto, Bein Av Libito, we learn that by nara marasa biyo baala mafirin nidarea. Now, the Ran then discusses, so we've now set up this halacha that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabba are going to learn from this pasuk in the context of a husband, of a baal. That baal is only mefer nedarim shebeino leveina. Now, they learn it from the pasuk of Bein Ish Liishto, Bein Av Levito. So the question is, what is the koach of a father to be mefer the nedarim of his daughter? Is the koach of a father to be mefer the nedarim of his daughter similar to the koach of a husband? That just like the husband can be mefer only nedarim beino leveina, so too the father can only be mefer nedarim beino leveina? Or is the koach of the father to be mefer nedarim somehow broader than the koach of the husband? So the Ran explains that just like the koach of the husband is only by nedarim beino leveina, so too the koach of the father is only for nidre inu nefesh and only for dvarim shebeino leveina, because the father doesn't have any greater koach than the husband in this respect. However, the Rambam holds that the koach of a father is greater than the koach of a husband in this respect, and that whereas the husband can only be mefer nedarim beino leveina, a father can be mefer all nedarim of his daughter. The Meiri writes that maybe there's a little bit of a compromise position here to bridge the gap between the Rambam, who holds that the father can always be mefer on the darim of his daughter, and the Ran, who holds that the father can never be mefer more nedarim than the Baal. So the Miri suggests perhaps to bridge the gap like this, that when the girl is in Nara in her father's house, then the father has jurisdiction over all of her nedarim and can be made for everything, even something which is not the Davar Shebeino Leveina. Once she becomes an Arusa, and then they have co-jurisdiction, and now only the husband can be made for only the Nedarim Bein Oleveina, says the Meiri, maybe we could suggest that only the father can also, once again, be made for Nedarim. Maybe the father can also be made for Nedarim, only Nedarim Beino, only Nedarim Beino Leveina. So the reason to explain are one potential rationale for the Rambam to distinguish between the father and the husband, even though they seem to be compared, because it says Bein Ish Liishto Bein Av Levito, is that legabe the father, it says Kol Shvuas Lanos Nafesh, it says that or Kol Nidarea V'Yesarea. So the pasuk uses the lotion of Kol by a father with respect to his ability to be made for the nedarim of his daughter. And since it uses the lashon of kol nedarea, it's mashma that he has the ability to make for everything, even things which perhaps are not nidre, inu nefesh. Also, it could be that the Rambam holds that there really is no example of nedarim of a daughter that's beino leveina. That the prototypical example we'll get to in probably about 2 weeks is a neder regarding tashmish. That's a very personal thing. That's beino leveina. But by a father and a daughter, there's no such relationship that would be so personal and that would be Beino Leveina, and that's why perhaps the Rambam says that we can't restrict the Hafara of the father to Nedarim Beino Leveina, because that type of relationship simply doesn't exist between a father and a daughter, unlike by a husband and a wife. So, but perhaps the Ran would say, sure it does. Who says it doesn't have to do only with Tashmish? It has to do with anything that affects the interpersonal relationship between the two. For example, if the daughter takes an eder that she's not going to serve her father and she's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz, not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibbutz Abayim is against Halach in the Torah, but let's say she takes an eder, she's not going to fill up a glass of water for her father. So that's a davar, Shebeino Leveina. So according to the Ran, there is an example of a davar Shebeino Leveina, and that's why, just like by the husband, we're going to limit perhaps the koach hafara to dvarim shebeino leveina. So too, perhaps by a father and a daughter, it also makes sense to limit the koach hafara to dvarim shebeino leveina. But so in any event, so there's a three way at least machlokas rishonim as to what happens with respect to the father, and whether the koach of the father's hafara is equal to the koach of the husband's, or perhaps is greater than the koach of the husband's. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to pose this question that we began talking about in the introduction to the shiur today. So says the Gemara halfway down, Samaches Amud Aleph, Iboy Luhu. So they ask the following kasha. Baal, so the husband, and the Ran points out that this halacha is equally applicable to the father. In other words, either the husband or the father who are mefer and neder of an arusa, where they have joint jurisdiction, what impact does that hafara have? Does the hafara of one person have? Megas gayis, does it cut the neder in half totally? In other words, does it totally annul half the neder? O miklash kalish, or does it simply cause the entire neder to become weakened, but it doesn't chop away half the neder in total? So, heiche kame bailan. So what's this question about? So the Gemara gives an example, a nafkamina, kagon de nadra mitrin zaysin. She takes a neder that she's not going to eat two kazesim of something, v'shama aros v'hefer la, and then the aros hears about the neder and he's mefer the neder. And again, he's only made for half the nether, because the Baal has not been made for the nether here. Va'achaltnun, and then she eats both of the zesim. So now, what's the halacha? So, I amrit megas gayis, if you want to say that the halacha here is megas gayis, that when one of the parties here annuls the nether, when one of the parties here is made for the nether, then it totally chops the nether in half. So, in other words, she made a nether on two zesim. So, when the Baal is made for the nether, it totally cuts away the nether, legabe, one of the zesim. And if the father would be made for the nether, it would totally knock away the nether, legabe, the other kazayis. But here the father wasn't made for the nether, only the husband. So if you say megas gayis, you started with a nether that covered two kazesim, one of the guys was made for the nether, so the nether's gone, legabe, one of the kazesim in total, and it's there, legabe, the other of the kazesim in total. So if we say megas gayis, lakia, then she would get malchus. And she would get malchus because what'd she do? She ate two zesim, she ate both of the zesim, legabe, one of the zesim, the full nether was definitely in effect. The Ran says that she gets malchus because she ate both of the sheer kazesim. However, if she only ate one of the kazesim, if she only ate a kazayis instead of the two kazesim, would she get malchus? So the Ran says no. She can't get malchus because the neder is completely released with respect to one of the kazesim if we say megas gayis, and we don't know which of the kazesim the neder is released from and which of the kazesim the neder is still attached to. And therefore, the only way to set up the nafkamina, the only way to have her get malchus without a suffek, because you're not going to get malchus mesuffek, so the only way you're going to have her get malchus without a suffek is if we say that the nether applies to only one, but unfortunately she went in A2, so she's up a creek no matter what. So she's stuck. So the Ran says, why actually are we talking about kazesim? Why are we dafka talking about ashir kazayis? The Gemara always chooses its language and the hypotheticals and the cases very, very carefully. So why do we have to be talking about kazesim here? So the Ran gives two explanations. The first explanation is that this kasha arises both legabe nedarim and by shvuos, because the father and the husband also have the ability to be mefer shvuos in addition to nedarim, and by a shvua is only chal on something that has a shear of a kazayas. And that's why, even though you're right, legabe a neder, the neder has the ability to be chal on something which is even less than a kezias. In order to discuss a case that's equally applicable to both a neder and a shvua, we'll talk about something that has a shear of a kezias. Then, or perhaps the Ran suggests that when we say loka, we actually don't mean malchus. Loka means that there's a chi of karban. And everybody agrees that there will not be a chi of karban unless there's a shir kezias. So, and loka, the Gemara is using the word loka because loka means he'll get punished. In other words, will he get punished or not? Will he be mechuy of a karban? And the only way you're mechuy of a karban is if you do an iser, that's kashir. That's kedei shir, and an iser, that's a shir, is a full kezias. So one side of the suffix is like this. She takes a neder on two zesim, and only the baal is made for the neder. If we say megas gayas, then the neder is totally released. It's cut in half, so the neder is totally released with respect to one of the kazesim, and it's totally there with respect to the other of the kazesim. Now, e amrina miklash kolash, but if you say that the afara of one of the parties causes the entire neder to be weakened, then isur ba'alma, then it's stam and isur ba'alma. In other words, it's nothing that you are going to. That it's nothing that you are going to be able to get malchus for, because you have over here just a totally weakened iser. So again, Rov Rishonim, including the Ran, say that this kasha is shayich both if it's the husband who's mayfair his part of the neder, or if it's the Baal who's mayfair his part of the neder. So the Ran holds like that, Tosfos, the Rosh, all of the Rishonim on the page hold like that, that this kasha is equally applicable to both either of the father or the husband who's mayfair his share of the neder. But the Shita Mekubetzes holds differently. The Shita Mekubetzes says that the kasha is only by the husband, that by the father it's pasha to us for some reason, by the father it's pasha to us that if he's mayfair his part of the neder, then he chops it in half. That the father is certainly megas. That the father is certainly megas gayas. Why? Because the father had exclusive jurisdiction over the nedarim of the daughter. After all, before she became an arusa. However, and therefore, even after she becomes an arusa, the husband can't weaken the koach of the father's ability of afara to such an extent. Then now, what the husband can do is the husband can limit the father's koach hafara only to half of the neder. But says the Shita Mekubetzes, you can't say miklash kolash. You can't say miklash kolash by the father, because previously the father had the ability to knock away the entire neder. So you can't say that now the father's, according to the Shita, you can't say that the father's koach is now weakened as to the entire neder. For some reason, it's easier for the Shita to say, okay, well, I can compartmentalize. And I could say, oh, well, they have co-jurisdiction. Well, then the father has jurisdiction over only half the neder, but as to his half the neder, his koach is the same as it was before. His koach is going to be the same as it was before. And that's why it's going to be pashut, according to the Shita Mekubetzes, that by a father, it's going to be megas gayas, even though by a husband we might have this suffix. The other Rishonim, what does the Ran and Tosas and the Rush do with this? So they don't hold like this. They don't hold like the Shita Mekubetzes. Why? Because if it's pasha to us that by the father we say megas gayas, that the father through his koach hafara can chop away half the neder, but again we're mesupuk by the husband whether he's megas gayas or miklash kolash. So if you want to say that the husband is also megas gayas, so great. So you have the father, megas gayas, half of it goes away. You have the husband, megas gayas, the other half of it goes away. But if you have the father, megas gayas, half of it goes away, and the husband is only miklash kolash, then the husband can only get rid of half of the nether that remains, meaning that you would only have 75% of the nether being annulled. And if you want to set up the basic suffix in the Gemara of by a baal, megas gayas, or miklash kolash, you can't know for sure that by the father it's megas gayas, because then there's no way for the husband to annul the neder entirely. So that's why the Ran and the other Rishonim wouldn't hold like the Shita Mekubetzes here. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Like says the Gemara like this. So we asked the Kasha Mai, what is it? So is it Megas Gaias or Miklash Kalash? So Tashma. So the Gemara is going to bring a raya from the following brisa. Here's the brisa with five cases. Complicated brisa. Hopefully I'll be able to explain it cogently. So there's a Mishnah Daf Ayin, which talks about that if the father dies, then the right, again, we're talking about the concept of nisrokna, of transferal of this koach of afara. So the Mishnah on Daf Ayin tells us that if the father dies, then the right to the afara does not transfer to the baal. But if the baal dies, then the right to the afara transfers to the father. So it says like this, Amasai amru meis habal nisrokna rishus la'av. When do we say that if the husband dies, then his koach afara transfers to the father? So that's bizman shelo shama habal kodem sheyamus. That's only when the husband either did not hear of the neder before he died, Osheshama Vehefer, the Bach changes the girsa, we'll see why in a second. Osheshama Vehefer, or he hears about the neder and he is Mefer his half of the neder. Osheshama Veshasak, or if he hears about the neder and he shosek, he doesn't take any action, but Umeis Bo Bayom. And then the husband dies on that day. Why does it have to specify on that day? The Ran says because what's one of the basic halachas of afara that we learned about yesterday is that afara only has to be in 24 hours. It has to be chavdal chos. So if the husband hears about the neder and a shosek for more than 24 hours and then dies after that, then you're already gone. He already lost his ability to be mefer. There's nothing to transfer over to the father. But if he hears about it and he's quiet and then dies within 24 hours, Zui sheshaninu meis habal nisrokna rishus la'av. That's the halacha of meis habal nisrokna rishus. That's meis habal nisrokna rishus la'av. That if the husband dies, then his koach of afara transfers over to the father. Aval im shama v'kiyem. However, if the husband heard the neder and he was makayim the neder, osha shama v'shasak, or if he heard the neder and he was shosek for more than 24 hours, and then umeis biyom shela achrav, and then he dies the next day, then ein yachal hafer, then the father cannot be made for the neder. Then in that case, we would not say nisrokna rishus la'av, because the husband's side of the neder, the husband's portion of the neder, has already been mekuyam, and once it's been mekuyam, the father can't be made for the neder. Okay, so this is case one of the brisa, which was describing meis habal nisrokna rishus la'av, only if the husband either was already made for the neder or was not makayim the neder. But if he was makayim the neder, we're out of luck. Now the second case, shama uvia v'hefer la, if the father heard about the neder and was made for it, v'lo hispik baal l'shmoa, and the baal did not have the opportunity to hear about the neder ad shemeis ha'av, until the father dies, zuhi sheshaninu, that's the case that we learned, that meis ha'av lo nisrokna rishus labaal, that if the father dies, then the koach hafara does not transfer, then the koach of afara is not going to transfer to the husband. Now, so what's this talking about? So you see a lot of Ran on the page. So the Ran is going to explain the chidushim of each of these various cases of the brisa. So the Ran says that this brisa is talking about a case where the baal did not hear about the neder. Right? What does it say? It says shema avi for lo v'hispik baal l'shmoa ad shemeis ha'av. Why does it talk specifically about a case where the baal didn't hear about the neder? To teach us that even where he didn't hear about it and he never acquired joint jurisdiction over the neder, in which case the father's hafara is stronger, because the father, when he was made for his neder before he died, when he was made for his share of the neder, there's a concept, I should mention, there's a concept that that the whole concept of hafara, we said in the introduction to yesterday's year, the whole concept of hafara is only shayich on the day everybody hears about the neder. In other words, the chavdal chos, the 24 hours that they have to be made for the neder, it's not 24 hours after she makes the neder, it's 24 hours after they hear about the neder. So they're deemed to acquire jurisdiction only upon hearing, only upon hearing about the neder. So I might think that if the father was made for his share of the neder before the husband heard about the neder, so the husband never acquired jurisdiction over the neder, so I would have thought the father's koach hafara is even stronger. Still, the baal can't be made for that which remains of the weakened, neder. So the Rush explains that the power of the hafara doesn't transfer to the baal, because when the party who was made for his chelik of the neder dies before the hafara is complete, then the revocation is nullified and the neder reverts, back to full strength. That's why, therefore, in order to be made for the neder after the father's death, then he'd have to revoke the entire neder. In other words, you might have been wondering, I was wondering the first time I read this brisa, why are we talking about Nisrokna? The father already was made for his part of the neder, so just let the baal be made for his share. It's because when the guy dies, his hafara is revoked. So if hafara is revoked, we have once again a full neder that needs to be revoked. The baal can't act alone, though, so the baal's stuck. The baal can only act if the koach of the father transfers to the daughter, but it doesn't. It doesn't transfer to the daughter. So that's why the baal's up a creek. So that's case two. Case three, the last skinny line, Shama Bala Veheferla. The husband hears about the neder and he's made for the neder. And the father doesn't have an opportunity to hear about the neder. Ad shemes habal, until the husband dies. Zui sheshaninu, again, this is a case that we learned, case three, of mes habal nisrokna reshus la'av, of where the husband dies, the koach of hafara goes back to the father. So the Ron points out the obvious, which is that this is like case one, right? We had two cases so far. One was, husband dies, koach transfers to the father. Father dies, koach does not transfer to the husband. Case number three is husband dies, koach transfers to the father. Ayishkoyach, you already taught me that. The Ron says, no, there's a chiddush here, that the koach hafara falls to the father even when the father didn't hear about the neder during the baal's lifetime, and even when the father therefore never acquired co-jurisdiction over the neder. So the hafara of the arus was stronger than if the father had heard about the neder. Now I might think that because the hafara of the arus was stronger, that leaves less of a neder extant. And if there's less of a neder in existence, there's less to transfer to the father, and therefore, what? And therefore it's strange. I might think that therefore the transfer doesn't work. Kamash Malan, the transfer from the husband to the father does work. Why might I think that if there's less of a neder to transfer, that the transfer doesn't work? So the Havamina is that a substantial weakening of the neder might make a transfer of the hafara more difficult, because the Gemara tomorrow is going to teach us that when a weakened neder is considered very insubstantial, and an insubstantial neder is not transferable from one domain to the next. So I might have thought that since the husband was made for the nether before the father heard about it, and therefore the husband had at that point better jurisdiction over the nether, therefore his hafara was greater, leaving less of a nether in existence. I might have thought that since there's less of a nether in existence, it's an insubstantial nether, and the koach hafara can't be transferred back to the father. Kamash Malan, even in this case, we're going to hold Nisrokna. Says the Ron, well, why would we hold Nisrokna? If there's less of a nether to be transferred, how could we affect the transfer? Says the Ron, you're forgetting about what I told you with respect to case two. Once the baal dies, the hafara is revoked. Because when the hafara is revoked, there's a full koach of the neder. That's why it could be transferred. Let's do one more case for today. Case number four. Sashama bala the hafer la. If the husband hears about it and is mefer, v'lo hispik ha'av l'shmoa ad shemes, and the father does not have the opportunity to hear about the neder until he dies, eina bal yachal hafer, the husband is not allowed to be mefer the neder, she'eina bal mefer ela b'shutfus, because the husband can only be mefer the neder b'shutfus. So this is case number four, and again, you're wondering, case number four is case number two. It's like the same thing. The father dies, the husband was mefer the neder, the father dies, the koach doesn't transfer over to the husband. What's the chiddush? So the Ron says, the chiddush here is that even though what remains of the neder is weak, because the arus was mefer his, over here what happened? Over here it was shama bala v'hafer la And then the father, who was never made for the neder, it's the father who died. So because the husband was already made for his portion of the neder, and whatever remains of the neder is weak, and the father never heard about the neder, still the afar of the aras is not affected. Even though the father never acquired any jurisdiction over the neder, there's simply no way for the neder of an arusa to be revoked without the father's participation. And that's why, says the Ran, if you look over here, the chiddush is apparent in the wording of the Gemara. It doesn't say lonus rokna rishus, because over here there's no hafara to transfer. The whole point is that there was no hafara of the father. So therefore, the chiddush over here is Ein habal mefer ela b'shutfis. It's not a function of this rokna. There's nothing to transfer because the father was never made for the neder. But the fundamental principle is that the husband can only ever be made for a neder with the father acting together. So tomorrow, God willing, we'll pick up with the fifth case of this price. So we'll start off by reviewing the first four, obviously, and we'll continue on this sugi of megas gayers and miklish kolish.